Hello and welcome to another episode of Drones for Good. I'm your host Kevin Gillespie and your other host
Steve Blair. I'm here again. Hello.
And we have a new addition to the team. You want to introduce yourself?
Hi guys, I'm Chelsea. I work in the marketing team here at Copters and I've decided to join the guys for an episode of Drones for Good.
Absolutely. It's Drones for Good. COP26 has just finished. Mixed bag in terms of the outcomes, especially on the downgrade of making coal obsolete. But there's a lot of good things as well. But before we do it, we've got to start with the most important part of the show, which is breaking news. What's been found?
So another dog has been found up in Scotland, Kev.
Amazing.
Little dog Benji.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you a little bit about Benji. Mm-hmm. So Benji was last seen at Dumbarton East Fire Station. 8 days missing.
And how did they find him?
So they sent out a drone. It doesn't say what drone it is, Kev, but it's with thermal. So it could be something such as the Joule or the Enterprise Advance or something similar.
So when you say Joule, what do you mean Joule? What drone maker is
that? The Mavic 2 Enterprise Joule. Or it could have been the Mavic 2 Enterprise Advanced or maybe the Anafi Thermal. But I'm just surmising here. I'm not sure. But that's what we use and we supply to lots of search and rescues team. But 8 days he'd be missing.
Was it actually a SARS team that went out and found it, not a member of Joule Public?
Yeah. Search rescue team.
Amazing.
Went out, used it and found it. 8 days he'd been missing and tracked him down about 3 miles from the area. The body heat generated from the dog, he was hiding in some overgrow.
There you go. There you go. That's amazing. That's amazing. I actually think when my two cats ran away, it was traumatic for my partner, Caitlin. We didn't know if it was going to come back. It was Cleo. And she disappeared. I spent like 3-4 hours on foot looking for that cat. If I had a drone, would have found it.
Absolutely. That's the thing. We kind of, every time we come in here, don't we, do Drones for Good?
We talk about dogs. Yeah, but that's because if this is your first podcast, just quickly tell the story on why we talk about dogs and people find them with drones.
Yeah, well, we've got a guy we supply to 18 months ago.
It's a long time ago, but he's like a local press hero.
He's a local hero in Burnley. And he goes... Forgive me, I cannot remember his name for the life of me. But anyway,
it was 18 months ago.
It was 18 months ago. He goes and flies his drones around Burnley because there's a path. He's retired at the back of his house and he always noticed lost dog signs. So instead of having a lost dog sign, he's gone out now and put signs of himself. I'll find your dog with my drone if your dog goes missing. And he's been really successful. He's found hundreds of dogs.
He's made the press.
Yeah, he's a local Burnley hero. So there you go.
I love it, man. Drones for good. But enough of the dog finding. We'll update you with a new story next time we do Drones for Good. But let's get back to the purpose of this show. Normally when you see in the press, you see a lot of stories about drones and the bad stuff that they're doing, so how they're used for military or how they've grounded planes with people trying to get to the 1830 Cavos holiday or any other holiday, that's very specific. Then there's this whole 3-4 days of speculation. Was it a drone? Was it an alien? Or is it just a bird? Or is there nothing up there whatsoever and we've just been grounded because the carrier bag got caught in the wind and flew up? But it doesn't matter. You get all this speculation. And that's the framework that people have in their mind about drones. But actually, drones are actually amazing tools for good.
They are. And they've been doing hundreds of amazing things that we know about for a long time. And I think within Copters, we talk about it internally a little bit for granted. We always shout about in-house. We put it on the blogs on our website about these fantastic companies and people across all verticals, whether that be in public safety, search and rescue. But then even in like inspection and off the coast and looking at environmental managing and forestry management and that sort of thing. So, yeah, that's why we like to come on this, do a Drones for Good podcast and really shout about our customers, but not just our customers, but everybody.
Yeah, and the industry. And the industry itself. So let's just bring it back. COP26, there was a quote and it was from, I'm just pulling up my notes here, it was Hannah Chu, Director of Air Mobility at Connected Place Catapult, which is responsible for the delivery of the UK government-backed Drone Pathfinder Catalyst programme. And she's out there and she's just saying it's very much the huge environmental wins that the UK can make if we can adopt drone technology. But the biggest barrier that's out there is obviously regulations. And this regulation has unlocked the potential of drones in so many other countries that we'll talk about, especially in the agricultural vertical. But in the UK, we've still got Bivlox, where it's, in a nutshell, you must always operate and fly your drone with visual sight of it. But in other countries, you don't need that. Because if you think of like agriculture, farming, in America, it's like acres and acres of land that these drones will fly and map and spot like lost sheep or bull peep or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Yeah, so like we're saying, it's like that visual line of sight, and that's the regulation that's in the UK that's preventing a lot of the innovation and drones actually getting used to the full potential. But if you were to take the lead from other countries, I mean, we were just talking about them. What countries is where drones are actually being used and the regulations are a little bit different?
So primarily in China and South America, they're being used extensively now, and they're being used for even things such as spraying. Mm-hmm. So spraying crops on large, large scales, meaning that you don't need to have the huge amount of resources and putting people in dangerous situations with pesticides and working directly with pesticides. They can use drones. So an example would be one of our partners, Micasense, mm-hmm. does a lot of case studies in there. They're a huge international company, work primarily in the agriculture sector. And we've actually done a webinar recently with Emily.
Steve, where can people access this?
So they just need to go onto our new Copters Academy platform and sign up to that, and they can log in and view all of our webinars. But we'll be touching that a little bit more at the end. I might have been a bit premature there.
No, it was good. It was perfect. Yeah, because you can access it from the Copters Academy platform, which people can enroll on for free. And you just get all this live content, all the great content from global industry experts, including Emily.
Absolutely. And so going on to what they do out there is they'll map huge areas of land, particular locations where there might be pesticide runoff into rivers. There might be localized crops that aren't growing properly. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you've got a huge wheat field, you can't see in the middle of the field where the crops aren't growing. There's something as simple as flying a drone up and just seeing where the crops aren't growing. You don't necessarily need a multispectral camera to do that, but it'll help. Mm-hmm. And then you can go and locate that area and find out that there's an issue. The great case study I want everybody to have a look at is the one in Peru. If you go on Copter's website or on the Micasense website, there's a case study of a huge farm over 800 acres in Peru. They managed to save over £150,000 in pesticides alone by finding these localized issue areas that they were just spraying more and more pesticides over the areas. Turned out what it was a little bit of flooding in the fields, which they could go and resolve. And that was with a multispectral.
And that's because of the aerial view as well, isn't it? You know, drones have got many uses.
Absolutely. One of the biggest uses for thermal in Germany is finding fauna, baby fauna in fields. So baby deer.
Why?
When combine harvesters go through fields, deers hide their babies, if you ever watch Bambi.
Whoa, how many deers get killed in Germany?
Thousands of deers around the world. Hiding in large fields, wheat fields, along grass. Yeah. That's where they hide them.
And so they think they're protecting the baby, and then...
And then we come through with a combine harvest.
Oh, my God. So what you're saying is... Oh, that's made me feel really bad.
Yeah, I know.
So well, no, it's good because drones are saving them,
are saving them, yeah, exactly.
They're getting them out. They're spotting the baby deers, and I hope they're spotting them and getting them out.
The idea is they now find the baby deers and remove them so they don't get run over by the combine harvesters.
How many farmers in Germany have a drone?
Not enough. Think of all the baby deer.
Bambi. Well, do you know what? That is good. So,
we need a light in the room.
I know, it's really going to kill me, Steve.
We're
going to be talking about drones for good.
Let's talk about a lighter and brighter subject. Let's talk about the guy with the lung transplants.
This is pretty cool, man. This is pretty cool. So, you just break it down for people.
So, basically, over in Toronto, Canada, there was a man. He had a bad condition and needed a double lung transplant very, very quickly. And it was the first time that a drone actually collected the lungs and took them directly to that hospital to him and actually saved his life. And there's fantastic videos online about how they've managed to save this man's life and how people can have such negative views potentially on drones, yet they can be used for such fantastic things. But that's what this podcast is all about, really.
Yeah. Exactly.
So let's move on. There was a recent drone report, the Drone 2 report, which is all about drone industry insights, came out in November, and it had the top drone manufacturers of 2021. I think there's no surprise about who is top, especially in terms of the commercial drone organizations, DJI, big market share, still anywhere between 65 to 85% market share. That's what it's estimated at. Now, second place, Parrot.
Oh, really? That's interesting. That's interesting.
Initially, when you say it, it's like, because there's so many different drone brands, Parrot got the number two spot. But when you actually think about it, they've had a huge couple of years, haven't they?
They have.
They launched the Parrot and Affy USA.
Yeah.
They've just
announced
revealed
the AI.
The AI, which is going to change the game for inspections. But then DJI themselves, I mean, what have they got? They've got the M300, which has just blown a hell of a lot of drones. That's set the new benchmark.
Well, DJI have got one for everyone, haven't they? They've got the consumer drones. They've got from the Mavic Mini right through to the M300 that's, you know, multi-use inspection safety.
And surveying. They've just brought out the very first LiDAR sensor.
Absolutely, the L1.
Yeah, absolutely. L1. Let's talk about some of these drones. So let's start with DJI, the number one spot. Without a doubt, the M300 is probably one of the best drones you can buy.
It's the best all-rounder, I think, for both price point and for payloads.
Yeah.
The amount of payloads. And what's brilliant with DJIs as well, they're sort of loaning out their SDK, so it's other manufacturers can now be attached to the M300, which the M600 and the M200 wasn't always necessarily the case.
Well, DJI were always like, if you're going to use the analogy, they were like the Apple of the world, the drone world versus Microsoft. Apple closed ecosystem, whereas Microsoft and Windows was all about open source. And now DJI kind of released the grip a little bit and letting other manufacturers make products for their drones. And you're seeing the benefit of that really with the M300.
Exactly. I mean, we touched on them earlier. Look at MikaSense, compatible with the M300. Another one of our customers, Lorenz, compatible. LiDAR USA, compatible. But all these huge companies that are working now directly with DJI to work with the M300. What I will say is, it's no surprise, but Parrot second.
Mm.
I think that's a real turnout for the books.
Well, I remember Parrot 4 or 5 years ago, the drone group. It was like they were still trying to get a foothold within the industry. And now, fast forward 5 years, it's like, boom. I mean, that is phenomenal growth in market share to become second spot.
Absolutely. Well, you think of Parrot when they had the Bluetooth headsets for the cars.
Yeah, well, they used to do the Parrot headphones. I think like they were the pioneers of Bluetooth hands-free calls with the fancy headsets, wireless headphones.
Yeah, absolutely. It was Bluetooth was their thing for a long time, wasn't it?
Yeah, big time, and now it's drones.
Exactly.
Let's talk about, I mean, Parrot and Affy USA. If you follow the drone industry, you will have known what's been going on in America. As one example, where the security and data around DJI is kind of put, not break on the growth, but it hurt them a little bit. And companies like Parrot have been able to come in, amongst others, and gain a bit of ground there. And it's the Parrot and Affy USA. I mean, when you think about that drone, that's getting sold worldwide, isn't it?
Absolutely. And this is getting sold within search and rescue. Mm-hmm. It's getting sold within military background. And that's not necessarily drones for good, but it could be.
Mm. Well, it saves lives. This is the thing. When you hear about drones in military, it's always about a drone strike. Mm. That's all you see in the news. But actually, if you think about it, 99% of all drone use in the military, and we know this, isn't for drone strikes. It's for saving lives.
Exactly.
It's for preventing people from going into dangerous situations, i.e. why breach a room with people when you can send in a drone? What's the drone that we've got that it's gone
speaking
like
speaking about
wildfire?
The Loki.
Yeah, that's it. The Loki 2. It's just gone like police forces, military. It's selling like hotcakes because it's like, why would you send a human being into a room when you can send a Loki 2?
Absolutely.
Why would you?
Exactly. You're right. It's fighting crime. It's saving lives. It's, you know, putting a drone in difficult situations rather than
what it's made for. Yeah. And that's why it's in the military. It's like sometimes it's kind of frustrating. It's like drone strike. Yeah. Hoo-ha kind of mentality. And it's like, yeah, but that's like 1% of what drones are used for.
Exactly. And they're the big drones, aren't they? They're the multi-million, dare I say, billion-pound drones that the US
exactly
themselves that can, you know, they're controlling from their little area hideaway in. Yeah, back to an Affy USA.
Yeah, an Affy USA. So they've had really big global sales on that, but then they've got their AI drone. But talk briefly about the AI, because this is something that we're going to be, right, we're really excited to be taking this to market in the UK. It's another game changer from them, and it's just something different as well. And what insect does it look like?
I think it looks like a cricket.
Is it a cricket? It's actually designed after an insect.
Yeah, that was the whole purpose of
the
design of it.
Yeah, exactly. I can't remember what it is. Yeah, and I can't remember what insect it is. Anyway,
we'll move on. Anyway,
oh, it's a praying mantis. It's a praying mantis. Yeah,
that's a pretty cool insect.
That is cool, man. Mantises.
I would say is have a look at the, you can visit on our website as well, but have a little look at some of the imagery on the Parrot website as well. Parrot and FAI, put it in. You'll get an idea of exactly how it's going to be used. It's fantastic.
Yeah, the autonomous nature of it and working with 4G connectivity, 48 megapixel cameras, just going to blow the inspection sector away. I think really being able to map completely autonomously.
You just hit the waypoints in and off it goes, and then it brings that. You don't even need to do anything. It's great. And when you think about it as well, inspection is probably one of the largest growth areas in the drone industry on a global scale.
Absolutely.
So this kind of technology at that size, because, I mean, let's compare it. You got the AI drone, and the M300 is used for inspections as well. I mean, yeah, you'll get the versatility of all the different payloads on the M300, but when you think about the Parrot AI, it's kind of like a plug and play, isn't it? It's got the camera and the payload already on it, and it's the AI itself, and it's 4G as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a phenomenal bit of kit, and you can imagine it. It's like, you want to, what do you want to inspect? Let's just say it's like 3 or 4 power lines in a field. You just set the waypoints, off it goes, done. And then the next time you go inspect it, you've already got it programmed in, done. How efficient and quick will that be for organizations? Productivity going through the roof.
Hugely efficient. I think the one thing about Parrot is the way that they do like to completely blow away competition by coming up with new and creative ideas.
That's what they're about. They're known for innovation. Like in all the products, not even drones, in all the products, that's what they pride themselves on. Innovation and disruption.
Absolutely. Goes back to the headphones, goes back to the Bluetooth kit. It's just what they do, what they're good at. And I've seen one. We're currently carrying out a case study with one. We're using one. We're in beta mode and we're going to be going back to Parrot with the details. And yeah, be great.
That's exciting. So rough timelines on when people can expect to get their hands on one of these and when could they expect to start pre-ordering them from us, Steve?
Well, we've got no official date yet sent to us by Parrot. You can start pre-ordering from now. But just keep your eyes peeled, keep looking at the website, and we'll be sure to update you. You know what? Get on COPS Academy. Sign up to COPS Academy, and you'll receive all the latest industry updates. Mm-hmm. You'll get access to all huge array of courses. It'd be really, really worth your while doing that.
Yeah, we're going to plug COPS Academy quite a lot because it's a world first for the drone industry. It's an e-learning platform built specifically for the industry. We've got to move away as an industry from this one and done. Get your GVC. You don't need to renew it for 5 years, but what's keeping your saw sharp, your skills sharp? In the aviation industry, it's called skills fade. So if you're a pilot of an airplane, for example, you need to do skills fade test. And it's you do the test and you've got to do it to make sure that you keep your skills at the optimum level because you're operating aircraft. The same needs to be applied to the drone industry. And that's what COPS Academy is all about. It's very much, you get your GVC, but there's over 450 other courses on there and you get all the live content, like you're saying, on a weekly basis from everybody across the industry. And the other thing as well, at Copters, we work with over 20 different drone suppliers, from DJI to Parrot to Flyability to Wingtra. It's the hardware, the software from Pix4D, Global Mapper, DJI Terra, to name a few. It's the training. We have it all CA approved, but we also the only guys that do off-qual accreditation. And that's really important because that's another thing that is about quality of teaching. And that's what's needed in the industry, right? It's like there's too many people within the industry filming courses from the bedroom in the pants.
Absolutely. And I think we've got to get away from that and really join the online learning revolution. If you work in a large organization, drones are now a tool.
Mm.
You know, they are still early on in their development, but they've been taken up by many, many industries. So just having a license isn't enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need to do this extra bits and pieces. You need to know all the innovation ideas. If I'm honest, guys, it's mainly to get your money's worth as well.
Yeah, at the same time.
If you've understood the amount that you can save, I mean, what was it that Severn Trent Water saved? Was it £750,000?
Just using drone technology. £750,000 using drone technology.
It's crazy, isn't it? I think as well, it's like those guys that turn up to Five Side with all the gear, like full football strips, the socks, the shorts, the shirt, and they got no clue. The same is like, why buy a camera with thermal technology if you're not going to do a course on how to use and get the most out of the thermal technology on your drone? You might as well not bothered.
Exactly. Thermography, we all know when you look at the basics of it that red's hot, black's cold. But there is some fantastic content and courses on Academy that will really teach you and give you a qualification in thermography that is...
Well, we've partnered up with iRed, one of the UK's leaders in thermography courses and training.
Absolutely.
And it's on a platform. And that's the thing with the drone industry. It's not just... you've got to partner up for an industry to grow, especially in the stage that the drone industry is now. It's got to be done through collaboration. You can't just have everybody just going off on their own little ways because you get nowhere. It's like silos within an industry. So we're all coming together, all these organizations. I mean, like I said, we work hand in hand with DJI, Parrot. It's one of those, and it's that collaboration that's allowing us and helping us to grow and be at the forefront of the UK market when it comes to commercial drone solutions. And it's just getting bigger and better. I mean, we saw this year, a lot of bad things have come from COVID, but one industry that went the other way, which was seeing massive growth from it, was the drone industry. Because when people need to isolate, it doesn't mean that the world shuts down. You need to keep the lights on. And if you can't send people up to inspect power lines because of social distancing, what are you going to do?
Exactly. Use a drone.
Use a drone. That's it. Drones. Exactly. So now is the time, if you're an organization and you're thinking about adopting drone technology, now is the time. Get in now so you can be at the forefront of it. If you're someone who is thinking about getting into the drone industry and starting your own drone business, either as a drone service provider, servicing all these organizations that have the use for drones, like inspection, all that kind of stuff, now's the time. You don't want it. So, I mean, look at Amazon. There's no point in setting up an online marketplace now, is there?
Well, absolutely.
So you need to work with them. Is there any point in building a social media app? Like for every TikTok, there's a million failed social media apps because Facebook just stopped it. Buy them. Simple as that. They don't even get to market. And the same will be with the drone industry, for sure. When an industry is at its start, that's the time to get in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's certainly something that, you know, if you've been surrounded by drones for a long time, you don't realise that it is still at the start.
Yeah, absolutely.
The take-up is there, certainly now. We speak to people who are buying their second, third, fourth, fifth drone solution, and really,
and it's a no-brainer. It's so easy as well, isn't it? The discussions are so easy because there isn't that level of education and awareness is there, whereas like 3-4 years ago you were doing the education piece as well, but people are educating us because they're out day in day out using the drones.
Exactly. But then there is new technology again, so I mentioned earlier multispectral. It's not that new, it's been around for a while, but using it with drones and agriculture specifically in the UK, it's very new.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we need to get all over that. Then you look at LiDAR, for example. It's just been so out of reach for most organisations with the cost of it.
Yeah.
DJI, bring out the L1.
Boom.
You've got all these amazing payloads, applications that are now in reach, and really to understand what they do and what your options are with them, we need to put it all in one place, and that's what we've done with COPS Academy.
Let's just finish on, obviously, DJI have just launched the new Mavic 3.
Absolutely.
One of the things that we've been saying is, because we work with public safety organisations across the world, but one of the things that we've been saying is like, yeah, the Mavic 3, I mean, it is an amazing drone, but we're very much like, yeah, but the Mavic 2 EA for public safety is probably still the right choice. Yeah. Now, why are we saying that?
I think Mavic 3, hold off before you make any decision. Obviously, it's a great new drone, great new piece of hardware, brilliant battery life, flight time, 46 minutes flight time, which is phenomenal for a drone of that size. It's second to none. However, if you're looking at using drones commercially, not just public safety, the Enterprise Advanced has really got to still be the way forward, not just for thermal, because it's got a really, really great thermal camera. It's 640 by 512 thermal camera.
Find a lot of dogs with that.
You find a lot of dogs with that. But also it does have a 48 megapixel camera compared to the 20 megapixel camera on the Mavic 3.
Mm-hmm. Why is that important?
That's important, particularly in survey. Mm-hmm. It takes four shots of 12 megapixel cameras and stitches them together. Mm-hmm. So you've still got, if you take a large image, you can still zoom into certain areas. Say, take a picture of a building, you can still zoom really close into areas that might have a crack in, or, you know, you might need to look at a little bit closer. That's really important. 32 times digital zoom, and then also the option to have the RTK positioning on it as well, which is really, really important. So there
you
are
don't,
advantages
you don't have RTK
for both.
On the Mavic 3?
No.
Nope.
Oh, well, that's interesting, isn't it? That's like, I mean, we always say that if you've got an RTK drone, but you don't have an RTK license, you might as well just be using a mobile phone like a SIM card.
Exactly.
It's useless.
Exactly.
Pointless.
Well, this is the thing. So,
oh, just by the way, we do free trials of RTK licenses. So if you listen to this, just get in touch. Only if you own an RTK drone.
Yeah, if you've got an RTK drone, we'll get you a
free trial of it because it will just blow your mind the difference in operating your drone and what you can do with it.
Absolutely. So don't get me wrong. I think the Mavic 3 is a great drone and it does certainly have its use cases and it certainly has its advantages, such as the flight time. However, if you're start drone business or use your drone for any level of commerciality, really, you're going to need something.
You're going to need a commercial drone.
You need a commercial drone, exactly, exactly. And the Mavic 2 Enterprise Advance is still new. It's not been around for too long. Mm. And yeah, it's phenomenal. It's our best-selling drone by far and away.
Yeah, amazing. Right then, guys, thank you very much for tuning in. My name's Kevin Gillespie, part of the Copters crew. And then we've got our other host.
Got me, Steve Blair. Again, follow me on LinkedIn or drop me an email and I'll be happy to send over any information you might have, whether that be anything to do with the Enterprise Advanced. If you've not used drones before, if you've been using them for a long time, or you even want to access Copters Academy or get your RTK free trial.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got...
And me, Chelsea. If you want to be a guest on the podcast because you're doing amazing things with Drones for Good, then... message me. I'm your girl for that.
How are they going to message you, Chelsea?
You can email me at chelsea.smith@copters.com.
Perfect. Before we sign off, Copters Academy has just launched. It's the first e-learning platform of this type within the drone industry. And we're doing free trials. All you need to do is visit the website, get onto the platform, and you can do your A2CC course for free. But guys, thank you very much. Until next time.
Until next time.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye-bye.